Hey, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of Libertarian to Them with your host, Kyle Maddox. A little bit of background on myself. I am a prior service member. I worked at NORAD inside of Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado Springs. I entered the military in 2002. I got out in 2006. After that, I went to work for Lockheed Martin for about a year before I transitioned to working at Quantico for about 7 years as a trainer at Marine Staff Training Program, where I went around the, for the most part of the world. I mean, going out to Japan, to Okinawa, going to the MEFs, Marine Expeditionary Force, to be able to train. So I went out to Japan, going to Okinawa, going to Camp Lejeune, Camp Pendleton, and ran small and large scale exercises for the MEFs and MEB at different areas, different places. My job when I was doing it was to integrate network administration for Global Command and Control System, which is system of record to be able to see where all of our troops are, and intel also to be able to kind of find out where the enemy is. And so it's a little bit of fun playing with all that kind of stuff, but at the same time, it also gave me a ton of insight and a ton of knowledge when it came to one of the great things about being a libertarian, which is fraud, waste, and abuse, because there is a ton of it that's out there in the contracting world. There's a ton of it in the military world. There's things that just, it'll irritate you when you actually see what happens when, you know, these big corporations have, you know, these insane amounts of contracts. But at the same time, I did get to meet some wonderful people, like, for instance, my very first guest, Mr. Thaddeus Dion Alexander. He's the founder of American First. He is also one heck of a karaoke DJ, one great comedian, and one wonderful person to be able to talk to and actually be able to call a friend. He is just an absolutely wonderful all-around guy, so knowledgeable, so well-read, so outspoken, and so it's just amazing. The guy's so dang intelligent, and he's so stinking amazing to talk to that it,
set everything up.
Without further ado,
we'll just knock y'all these enjoy. Suckers out, man.
Okay, man. Let's go ahead.
All right.
Let's go ahead.
All right, so I am here with Mr. Thaddeus Dion Alexander, famous for many different reasons for me. He's a great comedian and a great friend and just a great guy overall, especially to have being your karaoke DJ. But he's also known for being on Fox because, famously, I always love how it was pointed out to you. You took your phone and turned it around. What made you do that, Thaddeus? And I always love that. I always love that part of the entire interview, the initial interview with Fox. But yeah, you know, touch on just a second, you know, about that experience, what it was like, you know, being on Fox and everything and having all of a sudden, you know, everything, everybody knowing who you are.
Well, here's the thing, man. I think Fox didn't get what they expected. What they thought they had was a disgruntled, angry veteran without even finding out much about me. And when they came at me with questions and I answered them in an intelligent, I don't think that they want it. And I think the mass media, even Fox, were slightly intimidated that some people who happen to do videos like that to express themselves that are just completely fed up. I mean, I've been fed up since 2012. I think they're very scared of people like us who are coming out that are not bought and paid for, that we can say what we want. And so, I mean, anytime you look at the news, they always, if there's an accident or a murder or any kind of incident, they find the dumbest person they could find. And that's what they interview for entertainment reasons. Well, I chose to make them my entertainment.
That's a very good point. And that for sure you did. You know, one of the things I want to talk to you about, speaking of financial standpoint about things, the NFL, which is one of the biggest cash cow out there when it comes to anything, and for some reason here lately, and this has been going on for a while, this is almost beating a dead horse. But the thing about it is we're coming right back into football season again, and sure enough, it's again being a topic of conversation. NFL taking the knee still. And, you know, the new standpoint, it was out there, you know, Trump put it out there, and he's constantly putting it out there saying, you know, you shouldn't kneel, you should stand for the anthem, you should do all these things. You know, for which personally, I get the patriotism, I get the thought process of this, but I just want to get your standpoint of where you stand and what you think the NFL is, as far as, you know, being the entity they are. And basically now they're not, the tax exempt anymore. If they were tax exempt, this would be, I'm pretty sure for both of us, our standpoint would be pretty easy. Them being just their own entity, what do you believe? How do you feel about this situation, and what is the fastest way to resolve it?
Well, I tell you this, as a military veteran, I do feel disrespected. I think that the NFL players are at the wrong place and time for it, especially someone who starts and doesn't even vote. So I don't have a lot of respect for Kaepernick himself. Like you said, they're not tax exempt anymore, but they do receive federal funds.
True.
The federal government does pay them to play the anthem and to pull that flag out. And if any organization, I don't care if you're a college institution or whatever, if you can't respect my flag and if you can't respect my country, then you do not deserve any of my money. Now, I fought for your right to kneel. I fought for your right to take down that flag if you choose to do so. But you do not deserve my tax money. I can't pick and choose who I protect when I wear that uniform, but I should be able to choose who my money goes to in support of somebody who doesn't support my country.
That's awesome. I see. You know, I completely understand your standpoint, and I agree with you. You know, one of my favorite things that's happened out of the whole kneeling controversy, I'm a huge South Park fan, and I absolutely love the fact that South Park nailed it when the whole rewrite of the anthem, and they get down to it, and it's just, if you would please stand, sit, or kneel in honor of our nation's for the national. That's one of the greatest moments in Park history where I was like, you know what? They actually need to just do that and just shock them all and be like, all right, whatever.
Right.
Because the real sad part about this all is, I saw somebody had a comment earlier today about it, and it's completely perfect. And essentially what it said was, if these people actually did care, if they actually did care and have a cause and have a reason that they're doing it, it wouldn't just be from the beginning to the end of football season. They would be pushing this cause year-round. But they're only doing it during that time period, which is a little weird.
Here's the funny thing, Kyle. You know we started playing overseas, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
And the funny thing is they stood for the English national anthem at Kneel for Irish. You know, that same English that started slavery in the country.
It's amazing.
So people really don't even understand why they're doing it. You know what I'm saying? You're going to like, yeah, they started slavery here, so let's stand for theirs. So
it's amazing. I don't know how many times I have to tell people that I've not cared about the English. I've not cared about England and about their queen and Harry and all. I've heard about that royal family since 1776.
Nobody cares about either, man. Who cares about people who sleep with their own family? Supposedly royal blood. That's how your teeth get messed up.
Exactly.
That's one of those things, man. Like, how are we going to fuck England that once was dominating this world at one time, and now they all live on an island the size of, like, Massachusetts?
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, come on, give me a break, man. Like, people don't even understand. They do think most people are sheep. And people started kneeling because this person kneeled. I went to a Little League football game, and the kids were kneeling. So what are you teaching these kids? You know what I'm saying? Like you're just telling your favorite NFL player knelt for the anthem, so you should know for the anthem. Well, have them snort a Coke and beat up their wife's mom in the face, too. You want them to do that?
That's a very good point. This is. That's about the most blatant honesty. I love it.
Right. It's just like kids, their brains are not developed at 8 years old to understand what they're kneeling for. You know what I'm saying?
Hell,
I don't pay money to a center. Like, it's not free for my nephew to play football. It's like $300-$400 a year for him to play rec football when it was free for me, for you to teach him morals. That's my job. That's his dad's job. It's not yours.
Exactly. You know, what's amazing to me, though, is the NFL players themselves, they've been now kneeling for how many seasons now, and they still can't even get on the same page of what they're kneeling for. It starts out about police brutality, then it switches to the anthem is racist, then it switches to, I don't know, jaywalking's bad. It just keeps on changing all the time, and it just keeps on evolving. And it's like, all right, how about y'all get together, come up with a reason, come up with a cause, and then maybe you would actually have more people that would actually be supportive of you and actually be like, you know what? y'all have a common goal, you have something you're going after, you actually have a point that actually has an A to B ending to this, all right, I can get behind y'all. But y'all are all over the map.
I made a conversation with another black guy, man. I said, man, this is the problem with a lot of black people, and I love my black people, but we're followers. Let me tell you, Kyle, you're not a racist guy. You have black friends, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, if a black guy starts running for no reason, guess what the other six black guys do when he does?
Run.
They run in this direction. They don't ask no questions.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's a little far-fetched, but it's the same thing. Oh, like, he runs, I ran. I don't know why we ran.
To be fair, if I'm on the Appalachian Trail, which is predominantly going to be a bunch of, you know, crackers walking the trail for no reason and chasing and walking around, if I see six white guys running, I'm probably running with them because there's a possibility. I'm taking there's probably a bear. Just wild guess.
But you always get that one guy, I'm going to kill it. Black guy ain't going to do that.
Well, that's a good point.
He's not
going to
do it. We got to evaluate the situation and see what our chances are, you know. So, you know, but not to make this as a race thing, man. Saw Dak Prescott. Did you see what he said? And
oh,
I'm
yeah.
a diehard Cowboy. I know you're a Redskins fan, but he's
oh, yeah.
absolutely right. The young man is on point. He just wants to play football. You know he's going to get heat about what he said. It's the wrong time and place. You're here to play football.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's 100% right. You know, the sad part is that we're in a situation in America where – we have so much going on all the time in the news. We have so much political. We have so many, you know, just there's just always something that's bad because that's what the news, you know, that's all they're going to really show you ever is how many people got shot, you know, bus hits, you know, how many people are bombing here, all that kind of stuff. They're going to show you all the negative, and they're going to show you the negative between dividing race. They're going to show you all these things. There's a time and a place that at some point you have to just want to be entertained and actually have fun at things like football games. In other words, it would be fun if we could just go back to Cowboys suck, Redskins suck. All right, let's just have
That's
fun
right,
with them.
Right. And at least we're friends like 3 months out of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 9 months. I don't like it. Or Sunday. We don't like each other on Sunday, man. I ain't dealing with that dude on Sunday. He's a Redskins fan.
I completely agree.
It's all year long, man, but I don't know if I told you, but I did a little research, man, because that's what more people need to do. They need to do their own research, man. In fact, I think 2 years ago, I checked for 2 months and unarmed shootings by police officers, and there was right around 60. You know how many were black males?
How many?
Four. So, four of them were black males that were unarmed. And all four of those black males are broadcast all over the news.
Oh, yeah.
So what about the other 56 people? You know what I'm saying? What about the other 56 people? We have an issue in this country where it's not cops are shooting black men, but they're shooting unarmed people. It's not about being black. They're shooting Americans. We got overzealous cops that might have been beat up in high school, lunch money taken, and now they're scared and they shoot. But let me tell you, all of them are not afraid. Not only that, you know, every joke starts like this, man. If you go to jail, you're going to end up with a big black roommate named Bubba. I got me always big and black. So you initially put in people's brain that a black guy's big and black and he's bad. So I have no chance against him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's psychological. It's psychological. And then, you know, you see every, you know, I had a conversation with a guy and he was like, well, black people make up 20% of the population, commit 54% of the crime. That may be true, but here's the bottom line is, 93% of the people that are impoverished, 100% of the people who are impoverished commit 93% of the crime, whether they're white, black, or Hispanic. Unfortunately, a lot more people are impoverished. So that number's going to be higher. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a skewed number. So, I mean, it's just a skewed stat.
Right. So when you look at impoverished Americans, that take away color, take away religion, put in, I don't have what I need, or I feel I don't have what I need to survive, right?
Yeah.
So now it's 93%. So how do we fix this? Exactly what President Trump is doing, providing more jobs, putting people back to work, and giving them a way to provide for their families. That reduces the crime, not pointing at black or white or Hispanic.
Yes,
it's putting people back to it work?
Speaking of which, on Donald Trump, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've been looking at and thinking a lot about his policies and the things that he's looking at as far as like open tariffs and things like this, working with the European Union, the amazing thing to me has been, I'm looking at it from a libertarian standpoint going, what's the chances that he is actually essentially opening the door to the possibility that a libertarian could be the next president?
I think it's very possible, being, you know, here's the thing. Trump's not liked by Democrats or Republicans. You got a lot of Republican smile and this and the other. I mean, I went to CPAC in 2015, and Paul Ryan was boo, boo, never Trump, this, that, and the other. Then I went in 2016, and he's like, oh, Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got all these fake people out there, and people are starting to realize nobody likes this guy. Now, what can open the door for a libertarian president is for him to continue doing what he's doing and things turn out okay. It doesn't have to be great. They're great to me right now, but at least okay.
Yeah.
So people start to realize, man, like, hey, these Democrats and Republicans, all they do is lie. I mean, you take somebody like Paul Ryan. People love Paul Ryan. Most people love him just because he's a Republican. He's a Speaker of the House. But people forget that Paul Ryan's the one to say, hey, man, we should raise the retirement age to 70. But he's retiring at 48. So all these guys lie to you all day long. You know, they want to put rules on you that they don't want to abide by themselves. It's supposed to be for the people, by the people. You know,
yeah.
Not what's good for you ain't good enough for me. That's not how it's supposed to work. So I think as Donald Trump's legacy continues, and if he wins, which is possible in 2020, that people realize, man, this country is a lot better than it was. He didn't start this racism. Liberals are just crazy.
Yeah.
They're just crazy.
I've often looked at things and actually said this too many times when it comes to both Democrats and Republicans, that there seems to be like kind of an amnesia that happens. They seem to kind of, they as soon as somebody else, you know, a Republican wins instead of a Democrat, all of a sudden, the Democrats forgot what happened and what their president said during the entire time. You know, it's their president, it's everybody's president, no matter what. But at the same time, I shouldn't say it that way. But at the same time, they forget what, you know, the person they voted for, what they were saying, you know, like kind of like the borders and how, you know, Obama himself, you know, openly spoke and actually said, you know, about taking kids and all that kind of stuff. It's like, you should not bring your children to the border. I'm going to send them right back. He openly says that, and then liberals forget that he said that, and then they attack, you know, they attack Trump right afterwards. It's like an amnesia.
Well, it's not only the attacks verbally, it's the physical violence. I mean, I had a conversation with a guy, and he was discussing, you know, I pretty much asked him a question up front just so I could set up what I'm going to say. And I pretty much told him, do you think conservatives are more violent than liberals? And he said, yes. And I said, why is that? He said, well, they have guns, and they're pro-Second Amendment, and, you know, they believe in this, they believe in that. And I said, so you can admit that Obama pissed off a lot of conservatives, right? Like, people were pissed for 8 years. You're a Greek guy, they were pissed.
Oh, yeah, they were furious.
But where was the violence? And he brought up the fact that black churches was bombed. I don't know if that was politically motivated or just racially motivated.
Yeah, I mean, but what was that kid? Dylan Roof, I believe was the kid's name, in South Carolina, that went in and shot up the church. I mean, the kid definitely had a loose screw. It was racist. I mean, it was a lot of messed up stuff. But at the same time, okay, I don't think that kid had political motivations.
No, you have a lot of these things that are not politically motivated. But if you look, ever since Donald Trump has been in office, man, which has only been 2 years, is that conservative speakers are attacked. People are throwing poop and pee. You got groups popping out like Black Lives Matter and Antifa attacking people with their faces covered. So how can you honestly say that you had no violence for the 8 years that conservatives were upset with Obama being in offices, and you have all these attacks within 2 years? Within 2 years.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You know what I'm saying? How can you, like, logically say that? I mean, like, I like to speak fact.
Yeah.
You know, you can't give me anything. I'm talking about conservative rallies, Christian rallies. These people are showing up and attacking these people, restricting their freedom of speech. A college like Berkeley, who was known for promoting the freedom of speech. Conservatives can't even go in there without somebody throwing firebombs and busting glass. You can't even have an inauguration with any, but either one of Obama's inaugurations affected by conservative people violently. No.
No, that's a good point.
So you can sit here and talk about the Second Amendment, how we like guns, this, that, and the other, but when it comes to showing the violence, it's more on a liberal standpoint. I don't get my way, so I need to attack people.
You know, one of the things we touched on for a second also was, you know, we did touch a little bit on race, and there was one thing I was going to ask is to you, because the country has become, you know, I take it back to the Michael Brown, what happened there in Ferguson. I take it back to there. It's where when it, you know, I mean, we talk about racial stuff, we can go all the way back, you know, the beginning of time. But at the same time, when it comes down to, you know, things that actually stoked the flame and brought back a true division, it really started dividing even worse the country. I for some reason, I take it back to there because it seemed to be a situation where it was an easy one for the media to jump on. It was easy for Obama actually to take a side back then. But since then, it's, the racial divide, you know, keeps growing. It keeps getting more intense all the time. You know, for you, what do you think is something that would actually be the best thing that would help to actually bring people back together?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. A lot of things, in my opinion, and a lot of black people don't like my thought process on this, I don't believe in social groups. And that's what my group, American First, is all about. I'm an American before anything. I'm an American that happens to be dark. I'm an American that just happens to have dark skin. But I'm an American. I have nothing in common with Africans. Just like anybody who comes here, the second generation, said, I'm Italian-American. Do you speak Italian? No. Your taste buds are probably not even the same, and you definitely don't celebrate the same culture. You have more in common with me than you do with an Italian, and I have more in common with you than I do with Africans. So when we get back to being Americans and loving this country, and unfortunately it takes something like 9/11 to bring Americans back together, it's sad. It should not take a catastrophic event like that to bring Americans together. One, I think the Black Congressional Caucus is out of date. I think they're race baiters, and I think they're paid just to keep black people and other minorities quiet. So screw them. I'm not with any social group. There does not. We need a Congress. You don't need a Black Congressional Caucus. We don't need a white Congressional Caucus. If we start taking these things out and really start looking at it, as a matter of fact, why I want to throw in there hate crime as well. I don't care if it's a gay, black, white, Jew. A crime is a crime, and punish people to the fullest extent. We shouldn't have to say, oh, that's a hate crime because they're black, or it's a hate crime because they're Jewish, or it's a hate crime because they're Muslim, or it's a hate crime because they're gay. A crime is a crime. Punish people accordingly, and you can take all this stuff away. You see what I'm saying?
I completely agree with you. You know, it's one of those simple things where, you know, it goes down to that more government, more laws, more rules, more this, more that. And it's like, forget all of that. Just impose the ones that you already had on the books before y'all start tripping and want more. That doesn't make any sense. You're not even imposing the ones that you already threw at us. You know, it's kind of like, you know, going back, you know, I'll go to one of the real fast touch on one of the biggest libertarian things in the world. You know, it's always about taxes. You know, it's kind of like with taxes, with libertarians, it's always like, okay, you're adding another tax. Well, what about all these other taxes that you said were going to go to certain things that obviously did not go to certain things? It's almost like a scavenger hunt in any city saying, try to find your tax dollars and have fun. Have fun doing that because you're never going to find out where they went. Just look at the Mo Roads thing. I mean, you'll never find a single, the roads, it's not going to add up.
Well, you look at the state of Virginia, and our lotto system is supposed to go towards school systems, correct? Now,
yes.
You know, I live in Prince William County, Fairfax, and Loudoun. So those are the richer areas, and all those schools are pretty much up to par until you get to, like, some of the more impoverished neighborhoods. And some of the schools are a little ragged. And I used to think that it was a black thing. I used to think that until I moved to Front Royal and I started seeing Page County as all white schools, and these kids are running on a dirt track. So my question is this. If you have a $116 million lotto, and three-quarters of the lotto earnings supposed to go to school system, right? So that would leave almost 300 that's supposed to go to school system. Why are the schools up in the north are better equipped and the kids have better opportunities than kids in rural areas and impoverished areas. Where is this money going? I want to know what it is. You know, and yeah. that's one of the main reasons why I want to run for governor. I want to know where this money is going. Who's saving it?
Yeah, I mean,
it needs to go back.
You're 100% right. You go all the way down, and it's become an issue of checks and balances, and nobody is actually being there to be able to, to actually, be honest. And anybody that is honest, it seems to be that, either they're wiped off the face of the planet as soon as they are, or people try to just push them out, blackball them, get rid of them the best they can. It's one of those mindsets that, it's kind of like that whole drain the swamp thing. It's like, good luck with that, because the issue of doing that is so deep, and it runs so unbelievably seedy and deep underground that it's almost impossible to be able to do that. It's so difficult to be able to pull that off.
Well, here's the thing, Kyle. You can do it. Like, you mentioned Ferguson earlier, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you understand that 80% of the city of Ferguson is black. Right. Oh,
yeah.
So now you're complaining about a white racist sheriff. That if I have 80% of anything, I'm not going to lose.
Yeah.
So why aren't you voting him out? You
exactly.
know what I'm saying?
Oh, I completely agree. I completely understand.
We can do the same thing on a larger scale. I mean, people need to start getting to the polls and start being held responsible. People sit here and cry about, oh, man, all we had to choose was from Trump and Hillary. That is not the case, because we didn't even understand about the primaries until I did a video explaining it. I said, do you remember the other 16 Republicans running against him?
Yeah.
Do you remember there were 7 other Democrats running against Hillary?
The sad part is most of the time people will only – they'll only go off of what the media is going to tell them. They don't do their own research. Like you have said, you're adamant about, do your own research. People don't like doing that. They don't like actually looking at voting records. They don't like doing all those things. They don't like finding out, who is in charge of the Electoral College vote in their area and making sure, sometimes it is, who it is. Other times it's
right.
secretive and you don't know who it is, which is absurd, and that has to change. But at the same time, you know these things. So there's a way to go about your vote and about how you can help the campaign for the candidate that aligns most with your beliefs. I'm a huge proponent on, even though I look at myself more as a libertarian, I also urge people that are, even if they are liberal, conservative, on those sides, to be able to think for themselves, find a candidate you believe in, that you align with, do that research, and actually try to help that candidate that is aligned with your beliefs, because I didn't live your life. I don't know where you came from. I don't know the stuff you've done and seen. You might have a completely different mindset than me. That's fine, but
right.
do it correctly.
Well, people don't, like you said, people don't do their research. And like I said, how many times do you look at TV and it tells you about the primaries?
Okay.
You need to vote in the primaries. This is the day to vote. They never talk about that. So then nobody goes to these primaries, just a few people who are really into politics and the rich and the entitled. They go, and then that's how we end up with who we end up.
That's a very good point, man.
Yeah, but nobody mentions that. The news doesn't mention that. And, I talked about it with a guy. I said, man, I wonder how much would it take to buy a major news network. I said, you really don't even need that anymore. More and more people are turning away from Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN, and they're going towards the Internet. If somebody set up somewhere where they just had an Internet broadcast and hired people just to come in and broadcast, that would work. People are getting away from these because they know they're bought and paid for. If you got an internet program that's privately funded, then they know they're not bought.
Well, George Soros is not going to have his hand in what they're doing. That's for sure.
Well,
you're going to get away from people like that.
There's no way he can. But they got a hold of Zuckerberg, and people don't realize that Facebook owns Twitter. People don't understand that. My videos get blocked all the time.
Okay.
It is what it is, but I keep pushing. But Americans need to come together and start broadcasting their own. There are truth and media outlets that are individuals that put out honest news. I mean, me being one, I'm not going to tell you my opinion. I'm going to tell you the facts. And you tell me what you think. I had an argument with a guy who was talking about the civil rights movie. You're talking about race. He says, you're totally against the civil rights movement. You spit in the fight of the Civil Rights Movement. So I asked him, when was the Civil Rights Movement? And he said, in the 1960s. I said, well, that's what we're taught in school. But if you think about it, it was in the 1860s. You know what I'm saying? That's
oh, yeah.
when the 13th, 14th Amendment was passed. You know, the 13th was free to slaves, the 14th was made us American citizens, and the 15th gave us the right to vote. So that was the civil rights. The one you're talking about was the only ones that we were trying to enforce federal law on a democratic South to abide by those laws.
No, it's very true. I mean, because you have a situation where no matter what, you have to go back and look at it as there was a ball rolling that starts back then, that starts, you have a process that's going on, and it's not going to be an overnight, it's not going to happen overnight. And as that keeps on going, and the motivation, the momentum keeps on rolling along, and it keeps on getting a little better, 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 instead of holding on to that and improving on it, it seems at some point in time, and this goes for everybody that is, as you know, as a whole, because like you said, this goes for America. It's not a race thing; it's an American thing. At some point in time, we just kind of hosed it and just almost like busted the boulder that the momentum was going, and just crushed it, and just said, you know what, forget it, and just kind of just let it all crumble aside. And instead, we created chaos. Instead of actually having a situation of coming together as a country, coming together as everybody being brothers and sisters, instead we just kind of ruined it.
Well, you know, our society has taken on a Hitler mentality. You know, Hitler said, if you control the school system, then 20 years I'll control your society. So you got to look at these multimillionaires that fund the United States of America, whether it be the Rothschilds, whether it be the Rockefellers, or whoever. You know, you look at our books that were made by, what was the guy's name? Start with a W. I can't remember his name. It's one of those rich millionaire families.
Oh, yeah.
These people wrote those books. Those people wrote those books. And when the colonists came to this country, you know, 90% of us were literate. You know, they came here literate. As they funded, the millionaires funded the public school system right around 1947, they forced everyone to at least go to fifth grade. Why do you think they did that? Because they love you? Because they want you to be rich like them? No. So you can be a predictable, controllable individual.
It's a very
good
point. I completely understand what you're saying.
They spent millions and millions of dollars. They wrote all the books. They funded all the schools when they started this whole setup. There's three families. When they started this whole setup, they wrote all the books. So now you're being indoctrinated. You're not being educated because you're not allowed to ask questions anymore. If you're not allowed to ask questions, you're indoctrinated. You're not being educated. So now if they know what they're telling you, like I can look at fifth graders, right? You look at fifth graders, and I don't care where you take them from around the country. I know exactly how they think and what they think and how much they know. I know what kind of math problem I can throw at them that they can't understand simply because they've all been indoctrinated the same way. That's why they're trying to make colleges free so they can indoctrinate the rest of them. Because then they started seeing guys like me who stray off and serve many years in the military. We're unpredictable now. Because we've seen the world. And when we come back from overseas or wherever it is, we know that that's not true, what you're telling us.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I completely understand.
Free college and all this stuff, so they can indoctrinate everybody. That way, if you know what somebody knows and how much they know, you can control them and you can predict their actions.
That's a very, very good point. Well, buddy, I'm not going to keep you on too long. I do have there's a few fun questions. I thought that one of the great things about doing this, we'll get into some very serious topic as we have, and I really appreciate your input and feedback. And you know, your intelligence is always great to me, and it's always fun to talk to you. This is some stuff though. You know, these are pressing issues too, though. So I'll start off with the first one. Now I will say that my girlfriend, Miss Amber Flint, she is the one that actually came up with these questions, so be on your toes. They're great.
Oh, my God.
So your first question is, thong or boy shorts?
Oh, man. I'm 6'3" with a size 14 shoe.
I love how you went to what you would wear.
Yeah. No, I prefer no underwear.
Okay, all right, so commando. For commando.
I want to know what you're working with. You're looking at my package, I'm looking at yours.
That's a good point. It's a good point. It's valid. What is your inner stripper song?
My inner song for me?
Yes.
Oh, my God, it's got to be Turned Down for What, man?
Oof, nice, nice. That's good stuff. And the last one, so you have a choice of which one that you could be a master of. Pogo stick or unicycle?
Oh, my God, that goes back to that boy shorts of thong. Both of them are somewhat dangerous, man. I mean,
but we're talking about mastering. I mean, you are the best at pogo sticking or unicycling. Which one would you choose?
I think I'd be better at a pogo stick.
It's probably the best part Ralph's have to take.
I'm not worried about what's going on if I slip.
Yes, sir. Well, man, I appreciate your time. It's been awesome talking to you.
Man, always. Like I said, a lot of people know me from comedy and karaoke and stuff. And, you know, it amazes a lot of my close friends know how much I read. But I want to mention one thing, man.
Yeah.
September 8th, 2018, more Mother of All Rallies. This is round two for us.
Oh, awesome. That's right.
Yes, you see myself, my buddy Ace Baker, Tommy Gunn, the Pissed Off American, Stephen Germ, Outlaw Morgan, all of us will be there. Hope Coleman, Will Belt, Will Johnson.
Nice. And this rally, the rally is in D.C., is it not?
Yes, it is. And it's a 10-hour rally last year. And not one incident. Everybody had a good time. We also have a live band during the end. And we have a lot of fun, man.
Awesome, bud. I appreciate it, man. Hopefully I'll be able to get up there and come up and see you guys. That'd be a great time.
Definitely. Do your podcast up there. I'll get Ace and the rest of them.
No, that sounds awesome, man. That'd be great. Well, brother, it's been awesome talking to you, man. And, you know, I hope you have a great week ahead of you. And, you know, we'll get this up and rocking, and hopefully I'll get it out by Wednesday night.
All right, buddy. Let me know so I can pass it around.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right, buddy.
I appreciate it.
Take care. All right. Bye.